hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought or died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in the fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fought to die. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought or died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. Sorry, and that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, I want to thank Adela for sending me this story. And do please not hesitate to send me information if you think something, I ought to pay attention to something or cover an issue. You can reach me at paul@paulfromm.com. That's P-A-U-L at P-A-U-L-F-R-O-M-M.com. Well, what's the latest from Italy? And again, I'd like to thank Adela for sending this my way. Italian woman to press charges after Salvini. Now, he's the deputy prime minister. He's a really strong nationalist, and he has basically stopped the third world invasion across the Mediterranean of Italy. He put his foot down and said, basically, Italy is full. We don't want to become African. And he started turning away the boatloads of illegals. In fact, there were NGOs, those are non-governmental organizations, that are basically absolutely in cahoots with the people smugglers. What would happen is across the Mediterranean in Libya, overloaded boats for which these Africans had paid a high fare to be smuggled into Europe, that they would set off on the Libyan coast. Sometimes they were so unseaworthy they would be immediately get into trouble. And either the smugglers or some of the people on board would call one of these NGOs, so they'd send their ship over there into Libyan waters or close to them, pluck these people up, and ship them across the Mediterranean to Italy. Now, the thing they should have done is simply take them back to the Libyan shore and say, no, you're not doing it. But anyway, they're in outright collaboration. These are the enablers of the invasion. But previous Italian governments didn't do anything, so they let them land. And see, that's, of course, the the big mistake. Once they land, they go through an immigration or refugee process. Sometimes they're rejected, but most often they're not. They're not rejected. But even if they're rejected, that doesn't necessarily mean they're actually put on a boat or a plane and sent back to Africa. So, you know, real estate, location. They also say, sometimes say in law, possession is 9/10 of the law, or presence, you know. Like if you're physically in the place, you have a lot more power than if you're not. Anyway, Salvini has turned that around and is shipping them back. Now, in some cases, of course, they tried to make a big international incident over it several times last year, and how terrible it is, and humanitarian reasons and all that. No, they're illegals. If they really think they have a legitimate claim, why don't they just go to the nearest European embassy or consulate and make the claim? Because, of course, it's all a big old scamorama. So Salvini put an end to it, and it really just shows what tough masculine leadership can do. Okay, well, now that's kind of the introduction as to who Salvini is. Here is the story. I'm trying to translate it from Italian. Here's a sign of an anti-racist protest about 250,000 people in Milan on March the 2nd. Mi casa, su casa, you know, my house is your house. Yeah, okay, I'd like to see these people, if they actually own a house, allowing 20 Africans. One of these signs says, there's only one race. Okay, well, you're anthropologically an idiot. But okay, here's the story. A woman who was ridiculed online by Italy's Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini is pressing charges after his post provoked a deluge of hateful messages and threats against her. Giulia Viola Pacilli, 22, was photographed during an anti-racism march in Milan on March the 2nd, holding a sign that said, "Better to be a do-gooder and a whore than a fascist and Salvinist." There's a follower, Salvini. Okay. So better to be a do-gooder and a whore than a fascist and Salvinist. Well, that's what she says. So better to be a whore and a do-gooder than to be a follower of Salvini. And of course, it's a cheap shot to call any person who opposes a third world invasion to be a fascist. Fascism was a fine Italian political tradition going back to the 1920s. It was in power near the end of the Second World War. It's a complicated political philosophy. It's a different way of organizing society, basically for social and economic justice. But immigration was not a big issue, or it was virtually not an issue back in the 30s and 40s. So it's just a term of abuse. But anyway, let's continue the story. The march was attended by an estimated 250,000 people. It was being the most prominent sign yet of a pushback against the policies of Italy's populist government. 2 days later, the photo was shared by Salvini, who leads the Northern League, on his Facebook page, along with a sarcastic message, "What a nice woman," followed by a laughing emoji. Yeah, well, I mean, the student became a target of hatred online, receiving hundreds of messages, including one that asked if she would like a gang of horny illegal immigrants to be arranged for her. Yeah, I mean, you love them so much. Okay, some vulgar stuff gets said on the internet. Is that Salvini's fault? It wasn't as if she was an uninvolved woman. She went to this protest, her name was in the paper, her picture was in the paper, and what did he say? Did he say, harass this woman or hurt her? No. What a nice woman. Of course, he's being sarcastic, along with the laughing emoji. Her lawyer, Giovanni Pentimali, said, "Julia's been very hurt by all the messages. They're disgusting and scared to leave her home after some people said they would find out where she lives." Well, I've had that happen. I ran for mayor of Hamilton last year, and the anti-racists put my address all over the web, even put the addresses of the people who signed my nomination papers. I don't like it. I think part some of what that was done was illegal. I'm taking this up with the police, Hamilton police, who seem to be doing nothing but hang around Tim Hortons and not do their job in this regard. But anyway, you know, if you can't take the heat, you better get out of the kitchen. Pentimali will present a case for defamation against almost 300 people suspected of writing the comments to Italy's postal police. He'll present the case to Italy's postal police. The human task of tackling online hatred. The postal police said they would launch an investigation once the complaint had been received. Okay. Quote, it's difficult to target the minister for a crime as the message he wrote was not harmless or defamatory. Yeah, exactly. He made a comment, a sarcastic comment. You know, what a nice woman. I mean, of course, she's not a very nice woman. that's not defamatory. I mean, she herself says it's better to be a do-gooder and a whore than to be a follower of the Italian deputy prime minister. And according to the lawyer, so the case will be against those who made the insults. But we also need to stress the fact that even though Salvini's comment was neutral, it unleashed hate speech, and he did nothing to prevent. Well, how's he gonna prevent it? He doesn't even know who might be sending your messages. Okay, it's not up to him. People are responsible for the messages they write. He's in a powerful position, and this is just an ordinary girl. He should know better than to be doing this sort of thing. Oh, no, he shouldn't speak back, should he? No. Salvini shrugged off the controversy, saying he would like to see the same level of indignation toward those who write insults and make death threats against me. Right. I mean, me himself. On Monday, a spokesman said the minister had nothing more to add. Michele Anzaldi, a politician with the opposition Democratic Party, urged the postal police chief, Nunzio Ciardi, to look into the case. The gravity of the case should not be underestimated, he wrote in a letter. The woman's fault was to demonstrate against the policies of the government and have her photo posted on the Interior Minister's social page profile along with an ironic sign of dissent. This exposed the woman and her family to insults and threats of all kinds. Well, that's not the minister's fault. And then the story concludes. Salvini continuously attacks his critics on social media, whether they be political opponents or ordinary people. He also derided women who held signs with messages opposing him and his policies during an International Women's Day march against gender-based violence. Good. I mean, I think for far too long we've been treated to wimpy conservative or traditionalist politicians. Meanwhile, we get abuse, death threats, heaped upon us. I think it's right to fight back. And good for him. I just say, yeah, that's the right spirit. And you know, as I was saying, as we recorded our weekly Ethnostate radio program earlier today, courage is intoxicating. Courage inspires people, and similarly, cowardice also inspires people. Anyway, there's further controversy in Italy. Italian far right makes sexist International Women's Day flyer. Representatives of the Nationalistic Northern League in southern Italy have provoked fury after producing an explicit sexist leaflet to mark International Women's Day. Good for them. It was intended to be a dedication to women, but the pamphlet instead took aim at those who offend women's dignity by impeding their natural role of supporting life and family. Good for them. Well, I would agree, all people, male or female, have the right to choose their own course of life, and maybe being a parent is not for everybody, whether you're male or female. It is the natural role of women. Women are the homemakers. And listen to the horrible thing they said. They criticized those who offend women's dignity by impeding their natural role of supporting life and the family. That is their natural role. I mean, that's what the sex is particularly designed for. It's not the only thing it's designed for, but it's a part of the role. Quote, the leaf contains a list of six ways in which it says what it calls the natural role of women is harmed, including by those who claim self-determination that arouses rancorous attitudes toward men. Yeah, the man-hating man is wrong for poisonous cultural Marxist ideology that's pumped out by, you know, feminist studies, etc. Or by laws which would allow same-sex couples to declare themselves as a child's parents on some official forms. Yeah, in other words, the Northern League leaflet speaks about the traditional role of marriage. That it's a man and a woman. It's not two men. It's not two women. It's not, you know, a man and a goat. It's a man and a woman. And that would have been recognized as mainstream across the political spectrum as recently as maybe 10 years ago in Italy, in Canada, etc. There has been a revolution by the family wrecking crew. The leaflet ends with a message saying that women have a great social mission to fulfill in regards to the survival of our nation. Well, they do. Members of the opposition center-left Democratic Party said the leaf flyer is aimed to take women back to the Middle Ages. No, not at all. It is expected to be handed out at a league party stand at the Calabrian city of Crotone this past Friday as the achievements of women are celebrated around the world. Giancarlo Sorelli, the secretary of the League Crotone unit, told The Guardian that the flyer was intended to promote the great social role of women and that its message has been misinterpreted. I'm not allowed to say anything more than that. Sorelli was banned from speaking to the press following outrage from the female ministers from the League's government's coalition partner, the Five Star Movement. I think it's really important that we be able to talk about the traditional role of women, and that to say that and to uphold that is not sexist, whatever that means, or anti-women. In fact, it's pro-women. Indeed, the revolutionaries who have caused so much strife between the sexes and have promoted such false ideals like equality, in the sense of women should be able to do exactly the same thing men do, and you're only a successful woman, a fulfilled woman, if you're out there duking it out with men in the workplace. This has imposed a curse on so many women in North America who ended up not having children, and then in their 40s begin to regret that, but time has begun to pass them by. This is an immigration commentary by Jim Rizzoli, who does a lot of great video work, and you might want to check him out at Rizzoli-TV, Rizzoli-TV, and this is on illegal immigration hypocrisy, and this is Jim Rizzoli. Hope it's Jim Rizzoli.
Hi everyone, Jim Rizzoli here. While the topic of discussion today actually is going to have to do with immigration, and you're going to find it interesting because there's a double standard when it comes to how Americans are treated when they go to an Australian country and how those people are treated when they come here. And I can understand why illegal immigrants come into the United States now, because, boy, they can get away with a lot. I thought I'd mention what it's like for an American to go to another country. Let's deal with the country I'm going to deal with today, is Brazil. I had a friend of mine that went to Brazil, and he told me, actually a couple friends that have told me this, that when they go to Brazil, when they are leaving the United States, okay, no problem, and they get down to Brazil, they have to have the proper paperwork, visa, whatever, they got to have a passport. Then the Brazilian officials take a picture of you and take your fingerprints. So that's what it's like for an American to go down to Brazil. All right? It's just incredible to see how these people can come here and not have to do anything, and they're accepted. Now, I've been watching some videos of people who have actually moved to Mexico, and they give, you know, their experiences of what has happened to them in Mexico, and what's allowed, what's not allowed, what's good, what's bad. I find it very interesting. But the thing that really interested me was, if you're an American going to Mexico, bringing a car into Mexico, what's involved with that? So simply put, here's what's involved with that. You have to, first of all, obviously, if you're driving in, you could have a visa. And they record who you are. They know where you're going. And again, the car now has to be registered with, you know, with your name, I'm sure, and all this or that, or if it's a rental, whatever. And you have to actually get a special permit, bring that car into Mexico. Now, after you got to get that special permit, and then you have to have a visa to show that's what you're doing. It's involved. It's not like, oh, you can just bring a car into Mexico. You can't. They want to know where the car is, where you are, and then when you leave, you got to turn that pass you have in. Okay, so very involved. Okay, now let's think about, in my case, I live in Framingham, Massachusetts, a sanctuary city for illegal immigrants. So here's what happens when they come in. First of all, they sneak into the country, okay, either by coming through Mexico or by coming here on a plane, lying about their reasons for coming. For instance, they'll say they're coming for vacation. And, you know, let's say you get a two-week visa, and then they stay for the rest of their lives. Let's say you come in here, you know, visiting somebody or work. I don't know. Maybe you have a special work visa. Doesn't matter. They overstay the visas, and they stay here forever. Well, that's how it's done, first of all, to get into the United States. Okay, they can sneak in like no problem at all. They don't need visas. They don't need anything. Okay, now, let's think about them driving. Because that's what I'm focusing on now. Now, they get the car, they buy a car, no problem, no one questions who they are. You can buy a car, illegal immigrant, doesn't matter. Get insurance, yeah, maybe you can insure it yourself. I don't know, maybe you have to have a license to do that. I mean, I'm not even really sure. It doesn't matter, though, because if they can't insure it, they probably have false licenses anyway, so I don't know why they wouldn't be able to. But let's say they couldn't. They'll just get a friend of theirs to insure it under their policy. You see how it works? So they'll get insurance, and that car will be legal but the person driving it's not going to be legal, right? Did they get any, pass that they need to drive a car in the United States? No, nothing. Did they use that pass to look at their visa to make sure they're legal in the United States? No. You see how it is? Now you understand why illegal immigrants come to particularly Framingham and all their places they hang out at. All right? Because they can come here and nobody's going to question them. Nobody's going to see if they even have a license or care. They're going to sell them the car, insure the car. Insurance companies love the illegals because they charge them top money because they know they're a problem. So I mean, it's just incredible to see what's going on that end of it, to see that the illegal immigrants, there's no even playing field here. They can get away with everything. We Americans can't. See, that's how it works. Okay, on a different topic, but still dealing with Framingham. Framingham's having a problem with kids in the school. And all of a sudden, when certain times of the year come, the population of the school goes down quite a bit. And the reason why is because a lot of these kids are going back to their homeland of their parents or whatever, which is Brazil. In this case, I'm dealing with Brazilians. Imagine that. They're having a problem with attendance because that many of the children of the illegal immigrants go back to their home countries for however long, and then they just come up here whenever they can come up here and jump back into the class again. So you can see what that does. They're not really getting a good read of how many kids are in the school. They don't even know who all these kids are and what the status of them are because they're coming and going. But the coming and going is not, you know, the normal white American citizens or black American citizens or whatever color citizen kids. It's the illegal immigrant, the children of illegal immigrants. So there's where your problem is. All right? Nobody cares. Let them all in. And then another topic off of this is these illegal immigrants can open up a business. Again, no problem. They just go before the board, okay? They go before them and they say, what are you doing? Oh, you open up a bit? Oh, yeah. Nothing about these people, who they are. Are they legally able to work in the United States? Do they have the proper paperwork to show they can work in the United States? Because you have to have it. You just can't. It's illegal to have an illegal immigrant working at a business. It's illegal. But they are able to do it. Okay, so the licensing board in our town doesn't care. All right, the people in the town, the cops don't care. They stop the Brazilians all the time. They see they get false licenses, and they go to court, and they get a $300 fine, and that's it. And they can drive away. Imagine that. So the police, you know, because they look at the Brazilians, they don't want to bother with them. Framingham's a sanctuary city, you know. Instead of arresting them and deporting them like it should be, the Framingham police don't say anything. They just make money on them going to court. So the thing about the illegal immigrants is they're a cash cow for a lot of municipalities. And that's probably another reason why they don't want them to go. You know, because they bring benefits to whatever place they are, because the people that hire them are getting cheap labor. No one cares, and you know they can just do what they want. So anyway, those are a couple points I thought I'd bring out. I don't usually touch the illegal immigration discussion anymore because my town's a sanctuary city, so anything goes now. All right, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm Jim Rizzoli. I want to thank you for watching, and I'll talk to you another time. Bye now.
Hi, this is Jim Rizzoli, and this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I hope you enjoyed Jim's commentary, a little bit of a reality from Framingham, Massachusetts, and what it's like being in a sanctuary city. And it's really quite a point that they don't care, that the authorities don't care. That they, you know, they have all betrayed their duty. That's not optional. Their duty to protect the public. It's a scandal how they have betrayed what their obligation is to protect their community, to protect the border. That's one of the key roles of government. It's not optional. It's one of the key roles of government. Other roles of government may be optional, or maybe there are even things government should not be involved in. But protecting the border is not one of them. Here's an interesting and perhaps a bit depressing commentary about the spread of typhus and tuberculosis among the American homeless population. Maybe these are the things that, the conditions that ought to be dealt with before allowing more immigration into the United States. Typhus and tuberculosis. And this is actually from the Atlantic. These are medieval diseases. Typhus and tuberculosis and other diseases are spreading quickly through camps and shelters. Oh, there's a picture of a poor white man. Otherwise, he almost looks like a Robert Redford, but you know, the damage to the poor fellow's face. Jennifer Miller receives a checkup. Oh, it's a woman. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. Jennifer Miller keeps trash bags and hand sanitizers near her tent, and she regularly pours water mixed with hydrogen peroxide on the sidewalk nearby, keeping herself and the patch of concrete she calls home clean is a top priority. But this homeless encampment of a Hollywood freeway ramp is often littered with needles and trash and soaked in urine. Rats occasionally scamper through, and Miller fears the consequences. I worry about all those diseases, said Miller, 43, who's been homeless most of her life. Infectious diseases, some that ravaged populations in the Middle Ages, are resurging in California and around the country, and are hitting homeless populations especially hard. Los Angeles recently experienced an outbreak of typhus, a disease spread by infected fleas on rats and other animals in downtown streets. Officials briefly closed part of City Hall after reporting the rodents had invaded the building. You've got a crumbling American infrastructure, and the powers that be are inviting hordes of illegals. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. The story goes on. And typhus was a disease of the slums in Canada and the United States, maybe in the first half of the 19th century. It's been a thing of the past for ages. Now it's back. Los Angeles people in Washington State have been infected with Shigella bacteria, which is spread through feces and causes the diarrheal disease shigellosis, as well as Bartonella quintana, or trench fever, which spreads through body lice. I mean, this is the type of things you find in war zones. You know, there's a lot of body lice in the First World War. And hepatitis A also spreads primarily through feces, infected more than 1,000 people in Southern California in the past 2 years. The disease also has erupted in New Mexico, Ohio, and Kentucky, primarily among people who are homeless or use drugs. Public health officials and politicians are using terms like disaster and public health crisis to describe the outbreaks, and they are warning that these diseases can easily jump beyond the homeless population. You bet? Yeah. Quote, our homeless crisis is increasingly becoming a public health crisis, California Governor Gavin Newsom said in a State of the State speech in February, citing outbreaks of hepatitis A in San Diego County, syphilis in Sonoma County, and typhus in Los Angeles County. And yet, they're allowing in hordes of illegal immigrants. Typhus, he said, is a medieval disease in California in 2019. Yeah, don't you think maybe you ought to be doing something about it? The disease has flared as the nation's homeless population has grown in the past 2 years. About 553,000 people were homeless at the end of 2018, and nearly one quarter of the homeless people live in California. And yet, it's one of the major targets of illegal immigration, and people like, in fact, I think it's called the Sanctuary State, Governor Newsom, who is a twit of the First Order, is welcoming them. I mean, you're welcoming hordes of people when you don't have enough housing for your own people. This is immoral. the disease spread quickly and widely among people living outside or in shelters, held along by sidewalks contaminated with human feces, crowded living conditions, weakened immune systems, and limited access to health care. Quote, the hygiene situation is just horrendous for people living on the streets, says Glenn Lopez, a physician with St. John's Well Child and Family Center. St. John's Well Child? What the heck is a well child and family center who treats homeless patients in Los Angeles County? It's become like a third world environment where their human feces contaminate the areas where they're eating and sleeping. Yeah, because it's becoming a third world state. Those infectious diseases are not limited to homeless populations, Lopez warns. Quote, even someone who believes they are protected from these infections is not. At least one Los Angeles City staffer said she contracted typhus in City Hall last fall. And San Diego County officials warned in 2017 that diners at a well-known restaurant were at risk from hepatitis A. There were 167 cases of typhus from January 1st, 2018 through to February 1st of this year, up from 125 in 2013 and just 13 in 2008, according to the California Public Health Department. And what has changed? Well, massively increased third world population. Typhus is a bacterial infection that can cause a high fever, stomach pain, and chills, but can be treated with antibiotics. Outbreaks are more common in overcrowded and trash-filled areas that attract rats. The recent typhus outbreak began last fall when health officials reported clusters of flea-borne disease in downtown Los Angeles and Compton. They've also occurred in Pasadena, where the problems are likely due to people feeding stray cats carrying fleas. Last month, the county announced another outbreak in downtown Los Angeles that infected 9 people, 6 of whom were homeless. After city workers said they saw rodent droppings in City Hall, Los Angeles City President President Herb Wesson briefly shut down his office to rip out the rugs, and he also called for an investigation and more cleaning. Hepatitis A is caused by a virus usually transmitted when people come in contact with the feces of infected people. Well, and lack of hygiene, eh? Most people recover on their own, but the disease can be very serious for those with underlying liver conditions. There were 948 cases of hepatitis A in 2017, 178 in 2018 and 19, the State Department of Health said. 21 people have died as a result of the 2017-2018 outbreak. The infections are not surprising, given the lack of attention to housing and health care for the homeless and the dearth of bathrooms and places to wash hands, says Jeffrey Duchin, the health officer for Seattle and King County in the state of Washington, which has seen shigellosis, trench fever, and skin infections among homeless populations. It's a public health disaster, he adds. New York City, where the majority of the homeless population lives in shelters rather than on the streets, has not experienced the same outbreak of hepatitis A and typhus, said Kelly Duran, an emergency medicine physician and assistant professor at New York University. But Duran says different infections occur in shelters, including tuberculosis, a disease that spreads through the air and typically infects the lungs. Yes, from people who are already infected. This is nothing short of a scandal that this should be happening, and it's happening in a country where many of the politicians who clearly prefer bringing in more people to further stress the inadequate housing situation. It's beyond cruel. It's beyond cruel. It's actually criminal. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to take a musical break now, and why don't we have a great duet between The Hag, Merle Haggard, of course, whose song The Fighting Side of Me is my signature song, and another great country western singer, the very lovely Connie Smith, and this is A Place to Fall Apart. This is Merle Haggard and Connie Smith, and I am in a place right now.
There's a lady that I've known for many, many years who's been standing back here helping us with the background. She did Leona Williams' part on The Roots of My Raisin. She did the part on, what else? We've done so many songs tonight. The Way I Am, I think it was. Isn't that what? Would you make welcome someone who is one of the greater singers I've ever met, Miss Connie Smith? Would you make welcome? Good evening, Connie.
Are you all right?
You got on my cord. Don't get on my cord.
I'm sorry, Merle. How could I do that?
I knew people that used to copy this lady right down to her laugh. Her laugh was even unique. We're going to try to do a song that me and Janie Fricke had a number one record on. It's called A Place to Fall Apart. Freddie Powers and I and Willie Nelson. I don't know how Willie got his name on this song. Now I remember, let me tell you about it. Freddie came up to me and he said, how come you haven't written anything about your divorce? And I said, I don't want to write anything about it. And I said, if I was going to write anything, I'd write a letter. He said, well, write it. And we were in that same room where we rehearsed this song, in the very same room all those years ago. And he said, why don't you write the letter? And I said, I don't want to write her no letter. He said, well, write one. And he said, we won't mail it.
That's the best thing to do with a letter.
Well, that's the best thing to do with one of these kind of letters. And about 3 or 4 weeks before that, when Freddie had came out from Texas and out to California, he said, you know, Willie's really got a great title for a song. It's called A Place to Fall Apart. And I said, that is a good title. I'll probably never see you eye to eye again. This letter's meant to be my last farewell. But you need to understand I'm nearly crazy. You need to know my life's gone to hell.
Oh, write me back and tell me why it ended. I need some final proof to show my heart. I'll be somewhere between I love you and what you're feeling now. Looking for a place to fall apart.
Looking for a place to fall apart. Trying to find a place I can leave my heart. I need to be somewhere hiding when I feel the teardrops start. Looking for a place to call home.
I can't seem to justify your leaving me. And I'm bewildered as to how it all came down.
I thought everything was fine till your phone call. The call to turn my world around.
Send me word and tell me why it ended. Oh, I need some final proof to show my heart.
I'll be somewhere between I love you and what you're feeling now. Looking for a place to fall apart. Looking for a place to fall apart. Trying to find you somewhere high when I feel the teardrops start. Looking for a place to fall apart. Looking for a place to fall apart. Trying to find a place I can leave my heart. I need to be somewhere hiding when I feel the teardrops start. Looking for a place to fall apart.
Miss Connie Smith.
The door, you'd smile and tell me all about your day, but you don't do that anymore.
We no longer take the time to talk the way we should. If we keep letting things go bad, they'll soon be gone for good. What's not going on here is tearing us apart. Building a wall of doubt
that stands between us. Facing different walls, silent wars are hard to fight.
And that's just what can happen. And I was so afraid it would. If we keep letting things go bad, they'll soon be gone for good. What's not going on here
is tearing us apart.
Building a wall of doubt that's lost between our hearts.
It's time we understand.
And we keep letting things go bad.
was Rhonda Vincent and Gene Watson. And she's another great singer, I think. I hope you agree. Here's another song that I think you'll like. I certainly do. This is by an unusual country and western singer. She's actually Norwegian. She sings in both English and Norwegian. And her name is Heidi Hauge, and she recorded a lot of the great country classics. And this is The Seven Spanish Angels, which has also been recorded, in fact, I think the first time, by Willie Nelson. And this is Paul Fromm.
Full of ancient wisdom.
You're on the fighting side of me beauty. Here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Not quite sure why we suddenly have lost this, but let's go back. I do have a very iffy internet connection here, so sometimes these feeds aren't quite what we might have hoped. Let's see if we can get Seven Spanish Angels. There we are, I hope. Actually, this is not the song we called up. Let's try it again. The next voice you hear should be
business life, but life in general can kind of put you in a fall.
It should be Heidi Hauge. Let's see if we can get here we are. Let's see if this will come up. Some Spanish Angels. There we are. No. Yeah, we've lost it. Okay, let's see if we can have a bit. There we go.
Final prayer was answered when the rifles fired.
song by Heidi Hauge, and I'm So Afraid of Losing You, Heidi Hauge, from Norway. Great country western singer. And I don't. Why we have these interruptions.
Sometimes I want to throw my arms around you, then I tremble at the thought of giving in, because I know how much it costs to love you. I'm so afraid of losing you again.
Tells me I can't.